Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Hunter, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeBrusque.
Am I really getting the microphone?
And welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio this evening. And we are coming to you from downtown Rome, New York at DePaulo's at our posh studios. My name is Steve Roscoe and I'm one of your hosts. And I'm hello?
Requests.
Yes? Do you have any requests?
I have a question.
Please give us a call. Who else is here with me this evening besides Dr. Dave's voice?
Can I be Captain Mike Perillo?
You yes. can be Captain Mike Perillo.
I'll allow it.
Lieutenant Larry.
Then I'm Captain Mike.
Howdy.
And I'm Peter. Leonard.
Just Peter.
Just Peter.
So let's give you the call-in number because we would love for you to call in and talk to us tonight because basically for the past hour, since the other show didn't happen because they forgot about this thing called Daylight Savings Time. We've been writing lyrics to the next greatest song known to man. Are we even allowed to say the title of it? Probably not.
I say we should.
Well, it doesn't.
Can we get away with
it? Is that the paranormal?
I don't know.
It's abnormal.
Well, us singing is paranormal.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So let me give everyone out there the call-in information.
So when you're ready to sue us, our lawyer's call name, by the way.
In North America, they're open. 429-5471.
Man, whoever that voice is, they need a throat lozenge.
Sounds like it hurts, doesn't it?
Is that how you say that? Lozenge?
I don't know.
There's like a Z in there. It's a very weird word.
Lozenge.
All I can tell you about the paranormal that I've experienced in the past 2 days is that when you drink a quart of chocolate milk all at once for lunch,
ooh,
it actually becomes...
A solid?
No, a liquid.
Even more?
An emergency. That becomes
a second state liquid.
It's a cheaper form of colonoscopy. So, anybody out there who's plugged up,
just drink a quart of chocolate.
Got milk?
Not anymore. I'm pretty sure I got rid of all of it. So, what kind of horror music should we go with? We have Alien, horror royalty free, or horror?
Let's just go with horror.
Horror?
Let's see how this song
is. Always go with the horror.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Let's lower that so we don't blow everything up.
So what are we going to talk about tonight, guys?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about, Larry?
I had an idea. I've been watching my physics DVDs, and they talk about multiverses. And I was just wondering, because of quantum entanglement, is it possible for, I mean, I'm going to ask this question, but it's like rhetorical. It's not like anything we can explain or answer. But it seems like it would be possible for something, for a person to be alive in one universe and dead in another and have an effect. Like, say they're dead in our universe, but in the other universe they're alive. Maybe that may have something to do with residual hauntings. I don't know. It's just a thought I had. Never mind. I'll scratch it off.
No.
This is me scratching it off.
It's interesting. I never quite thought of that, but have you, Pete?
No.
I'll be honest with you.
I don't know anything about physics. It's
interesting.
Fun to think about.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But,
I kind of missed
mean,
half
why,
of what
why
you were
not?
Saying. Well, what were you saying now? I kind of missed half of it.
Doctor Who has talked about this several times, shows.
Because of quantum entanglement, two particles can interact with each other. Doesn't matter on the distance. So would the distance mean different universes as well? Say if I'm alive in this universe but I'm dead in another, is there a residual haunting of me happening in this other universe of me walking around in the same place?
I see.
Like pretty much does every, I guess, alternate version of you share the same energy.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Exactly. And when you die, does your energy dissipate and slip into different universes and you wouldn't even know that you died? It's just like a, like, it may feel like you forgot something, or maybe that's what deja vu is. Whoa.
Did you ever see the one with Jet Li?
No.
The principal, it's an action movie, but the principal of the one is Jet Li figures out a way to travel dimensions and kill off every copy of himself, and as he's killing copies of himself, he becomes more powerful.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because that's crazy. It's kind of the same, like, there's so much energy in each person scattered amongst all your alternate selves, and as he, kind of like Highlander, as you kill each one off, you absorb more of the...
But maybe like that, I mean, deja vu.
You just blew your own mind.
I did, and then I had another idea. I had another idea about deja vu, about what if deja vu is us going through the same exact motions in a different universe, in the same place, at the same exact time. And that's why it feels like I've done this before, because you're doing it. And then when you think about it, oh, I've got deja vu, it goes away because... You slip, you change paths. You go down the other fork in the road.
It's an interesting theory.
Okay, so medically, deja vu is a seizure problem.
No, shut up, Peter.
Really?
It's a, yes. It's considered a seizure problem.
Really?
But, I've deja vu'd a lot, and it scares me every time it happens. It actually happened when I was at the University of Ohio with David this past week. When we drove by a parking garage, I'm like, I've been here. Not like, all right, it looks familiar. It's like, I've been here. I don't know where or why, but I've been here.
Past life.
I went on a deja vu, I almost said. I had deja vu when I was at the bar doing.
I went on a deja vu.
It's another song.
It is.
It was spring.
That's track number two.
Yes. That's the number two song on our album there.
I had deja vu
Johnny Crash. You were on a date with deja vu.
Yes.
And I had deja vu at a bar that I do stand up at on Thursdays. And I was at the bar and it happened and it just kept happening. I mean, it was so long. God damn it, you guys.
We're not laughing at you. We're not even laughing with you. We're
it's one of them. It's one of them.
We're just laughing at, you know.
I know.
So you had a long deja vu.
I did. It was seriously, it lasted for about 2 minutes. I was sitting there just like observing it.
Now, was it like a constant series of flashes, or was it literally one long
feeling of deja vu for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes?
That sounds
and then it stopped.
Like frightening. Were you performing at the time?
No. Son of a bitch.
It's like working with third graders.
Well. What does anybody else have to say? Does anybody else have to say anything?
Legitimatizing.
Deja vu'd all over the toilet. Oh, me.
No.
That guy earlier deja vu'd all over the toilet.
So you know what, Larry? Actually, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Let's run with this.
Yeah, I like that.
Deja vu is an interesting. Yeah.
What is vuja de?
That is. Oh wait, no.
It's an opposite, right? It's a real thing, right? Vuja de is the opposite of deja vu.
I've never heard of that in my life.
No, it's the opposite. It's something. Hang on, you're right.
Vuja de.
That's why we have the internet at our fingers.
Sounds like a French.
I'm Steve. Have you ever...
Sounds like a chant. Vuja de.
Have you ever had a long...
Vuja de. Vuja de.
Oh, absolutely. I think we
particularly
all...
Particularly after
long,
drinking a quart of chocolate milk.
I think we've all had long deja vus.
I've never did.
And all the people that are listening...
Jamais vu.
There it is.
Jamais vu.
Vuja de.
Jamais vu. And it is... The opposite of deja vu is called jamais vu. As you probably know, deja vu, blah, blah, blah. I just want to go.
Vuja de. Vuja de. Vuja de.
That's just my dyslexia.
Deja vu.
Deja vu.
Wow, Pete.
So what is it again, Larry?
It's instead of feeling extra familiar with the situation, it is...
You feel like a stranger in a strange situation? That doesn't make any sense. Or, I mean, that seems perfectly natural. Oh, I've never been here before. Oh! How bizarre.
Sorry, we lost control of the ship.
Yes. Quickly doing so, yes.
And tonight was supposed to be a night we turned around. Turn this around, Hollywood.
I do have...
It's not explaining what it is.
No.
I'll share a personal experience to bring this
up. Because I'm actually interested in what that is, because it is, like...
Déjà vu?
Déjà vu is having the feeling you've done something before.
Did he just say déjà vu?
Déjà vu.
Déjà vu.
Déjà vu. It's the feeling you've done something before.
So déjà vu is an invisible...
Fou-ja-day or whatever he said it was.
Actually, my...
Vas-fangul or whatever he said.
You've never had déjà vu.
No, I've had déjà vu. I've never had, like Larry explained. Everyone's had that déjà vu, that brief snippet of, ooh, wait a minute, we just had this conversation. You just said that word, but for 2 minutes straight, seems like you'd end up in a coma, like double living.
Okay, all right, jamais vu. All right, déjà vu is the experience of being certain that you have experienced or seen a new situation previously. You feel as though the event has already happened or is repeating itself. The experience usually accompanied by a strong sense of blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that's déjà vu.
Right.
All right, jamais vu is, it's the feeling or experience that a person knows or recognizes a situation, but that it still seems very unfamiliar or unknown. That just sounds like the same thing as déjà vu to me.
No, I think what it's going to is déjà vu is like, me and you say something, and I'm like, oh, we've had that. But what Vujadeh or whatever is effectively like if I meet you for the first time, and I'm like, you look really familiar.
A common example of jamais vu is when a person momentarily does not recognize a word, person, or place that they already know.
Isn't that Alzheimer's?
That's kind of scary a little bit. I was just telling the guys here that I ended up having a... we were on the radio.
Our listeners were here for that.
Yeah, never mind.
There was no commercial break, Larry.
Well then.
You've just been victimized by Vujade.
If you've been Vujade, here's our call-in information.
In North America, call 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area
530-763-1.
They claim they caught a ghost. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
What is
so,
that? The photographer of this is a shot from a filming location for Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
They believe they caught a ghost.
But it just looks like a blur.
Yeah, it kind of looks like something.
So, back to the jamais vu. It was about 3 months after my mother had passed away. I was in the grocery store, and I was shopping, and I lost all sense of...
In a grocery
like,
store?
Lost all sense of... Sort of like that. All sense of time. I didn't really know what was happening. Didn't really... zoning out, I guess, would be the best. And then I saw my mom standing there. In the store, and it's like, all right, what the hell's happening? I mean, I just got out of work, I'm shopping, and all of a sudden, there's my mom standing there, which actually ended up being my aunt, who looked incredibly eerily like my mom, and she came over. She's like, you all right? What's going on? She's like, you've been standing there for like 2 minutes, and I'm like, I only thought it was 3 or 4 seconds. It's like, what? So would that possibly be an example of...
Probably.
Where I experience
when you totally, you're at a place that you're familiar with and you just totally lose all of any kind of recognition, I guess, of it. And it's like a blank slate. And then it kicks back in, like your consciousness or whatever, probably you'd say kicks back in.
So, you other gentlemen here, if you had déjà vu, do you like get nervous after it happens and you're trying to like scan your memory? Like, what happens next?
Yes.
This has happened. Why did this happen? Why was I here? Why am I? And then you get paranoid about it.
That's exactly what I was trying to do when I was at the bar. I was I'm sitting there trying to think, can I think of what happens next? Do I know what's going to happen next? And I was thinking and thinking and thinking, but the feeling just kept coming, but it just, I couldn't.
Every time I've had déjà vu, it's almost like a rush of excitement. Like the adrenaline pumps and my heart starts pumping a little faster. It's just like an exciting moment. And it only passes, but like, oh my God, that was déjà vu. And then it passes and everything goes on as normal. And there's a few minutes of racking your brain about like, was it a dream I had? But I've never gotten like paranoid or anything like that over it.
No, but I try. Every time I get deja vu, I try to think. What's going to happen next? Do I know what's going to happen next?
Have you ever been frightened by a deja vu moment?
No, I haven't.
You have?
Yes, because I think it's the fear of... I think it's almost like what Larry was describing. Me personally, it's like, I feel like, okay, I'm being sent back down to the line to this specific moment in time. That's why I remember. Why was I sent back to this exact moment? I think that's where the fear is with me, because my mind is thinking, like you're saying, from either another universe or a linear time span. It's
like the universe ended right there and reset and kind of stuffed you right back at the time.
And if it is kind of like a seizure, like you're saying, like your brain, like a neurological problem, why couldn't it be possible that, like I was saying, what if when you die, your consciousness or your aura energy, whatever, dissipates, but it has to stay connected to you. So it's going to slip through different universes and multiverses and attach itself to you in another universe. And maybe that's your brain recalibrating itself because part of another consciousness went into it.
Or someone just changed the time stream.
Or someone just... Oof,
actually, I'll admit on radio here, I'm a comic book geek. Big problem with that in like X-Men. And when the universe, actually X-Men Days of Future Past dealt with that.
Yeah.
Where the universe resets except for one person, and what if it's the memory left over, like, you know what I mean? A changeover happened here. What's different? And next thing you know, the South won the Civil War, but nobody knows about it except for...
Yeah. Man.
See, but that's where I get afraid, I think.
But
it's like I'm sent back for a reason. Why am I here?
See,
now?
I've always viewed deja vu differently because I've never equated it to anything else besides... I've dreamt of it before. Like, for some reason, I've never had the feeling that it was something I've actually lived before. It's always been something that I dreamt about, so I always just looked at it as not prophetic visions, but like, oh, I've dreamed of this moment. You know, I've dreamt of the future, and I've never felt like I was going back to do something or reliving something. I've just always looked at it as I dreamt of this moment and then forgot about it till it just happened and it rekindled the fact that I dreamt about it.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that that's going to negate any kind of paranormal experiences that anybody's happened. That just may be one example of what, like, maybe there's several things that happen when you die. It depends on how you die. And maybe that certain thing, okay, that some things are going to dissipate depending on the person. Some things are going to stay, consciousness is going to stay intact depending on the person. It's going to put a recording on the environment depending on the person.
There's a lot of factors. There's, like you said, the personal energy, area around it, the environment.
I mean, maybe it's relative to that person. What makes, like, we get asked, like, we've been, like, what makes a ghost? Why is that? I mean, maybe it's relative to the person. Maybe it has to do with that person.
Well, I think you're right, because most of your ghosts, whether they're intelligent hauntings or...
Residual,
they generally all tend to be spirits of something that has a strong connection to whatever person, place, object, as opposed to someone that just kind of ho-hum through life. Why would your energy attach to anything of you?
What if death is like falling asleep? You just wake up and you're in a different dimension. Same person, different dimension.
Yeah, but would you know you're in that different dimension?
I that's it.
Like, would you know that I died in this other universe or this other dimension, and I'm alive. I'm awake now.
What if death is like falling asleep, and you wake up
it
and
is.
You're a baby again, and you go through your whole life again, except in a different dimension?
Maybe
you meet different people, have different experiences.
It's a totally different time.
Yes.
Again.
Exactly.
Why don't you just simplify it and not have the dimension thing? Just you're reborn. The whole reincarnation is, except you're just reincarnating someone in the next dimension over.
Into yourself. I mean, reincarnation would be you're going to be somebody else or something.
Well, not necessarily.
Else.
It's your soul is just reborn.
Yeah,
if you have no memories of, like, if you remembered your existence in another dimension and just jump to the next one and be like, all right, in dimension two, I did this. Well, in dimension three, I'm going to do this.
What if you had all the memory? What if that's 100% correct and you had all the memories of all of that stuff?
Locked away.
Yeah. But that's probably why, because memories are stored in your brain physically.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why your brain has to recalibrate to a different program. To a different, how this computer on my shoulders is different than yours. So if I were to die and my consciousness, a little bit of it were to go into you, it would be like, you'd feel like deja vu, or it would have give you kind of a feeling. And it
there's,
would, it's your brain.
I reference it quite a bit in our conversations involving stuff like this, but in Frank Herbert's Dune, there is a sisterhood that can trace their maternal genetic ancestry back to like the beginning of time.
Wow.
So once they pass this test that they're supposed to, they can access any female member of their any female ancestor that had lived going back thousands of years.
So if you'd like to weigh in on this, you can call at 1-888-429-5471.
Which I highly
recommend. 1-888-429-5471.
Which, if you haven't read it, I highly recommend Dune. You'd probably love
it.
Sometimes it gets a little weird religious-y, but not in the way you think it.
I still got to read Fingerprints of the Gods. I forget who wrote it, but it's all about...
That's not Von Daniken.
I couldn't think of his name.
No.
That's Chariot of the
Kurt Von Daniken, yeah.
It's all about how, I mean, our planet is just older than what scholarly sources.
Isn't it only like 7,000 years old?
It's something.
And the Jews had dinosaur bones too.
Yeah.
No. It was the devil.
The devil, that's right. The devil hid dinosaur bones.
They didn't find fossils until they went looking for them. Just think about that.
But it's just interesting to think about. And
are we experiencing paranormal activity?
Did
you make a noise?
I heard a knocking, though.
No, did you? No, that was me. But did you hear?
That's exactly what it sounded like.
I may have heavy.
No. It was...
Well, we do have some activity here at the studio, so maybe you just experienced
that. Was you knocking, though?
That was me going like,
oh, no, there was the
Graham Hancock.
Oh, yeah.
Graham Hancock. And
I think I have that book. We had this conversation before.
If there's anybody here with us, can you talk on the radio?
Yes, you can join us for the show tonight.
Well,
can I blow your mind even more now?
Yes,
do it.
This is along the same lines, and I rarely share this stuff because people think I'm mentally challenged.
And you are.
I am.
We all are.
Let's talk about time travel.
Yes, let's.
I've traveled in time.
Oh, and
Ohio is an hour time difference.
No. I'd like to hear what you think about
this. Actually, I think it is. I think I made
that up. What do you mean? How do you feel like you traveled through time? Tell me.
I went to bed.
It's going to be all Edgar Casey type stuff.
It was about 10 p.m. I got up to go to the bathroom at 1:30. And I know because I always look at the clock. The clock's right there when I get up.
You got to know how much time you have left to sleep.
Went to the bathroom, came back, fell asleep, woke up again. It was 12:30.
Huh.
And I'm consciously looking at the clock, and it hit me then. I'm like, wait a minute. I woke up at 1, now it's 12:30. Where did that hour go? I mean, there's always alien abduction. That's actually happened to me a few times that I can't explain.
See, the
I guess you could say, well, maybe it was 11 and your eyes interpreted.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
That just seems more likely than.
But is it possible
for you to slip through time?
It could be an astral travel, and I came back earlier than I thought.
Like an astral projection.
Was it a daylight savings night?
No. Good thinking, though.
See, I knew you people would make fun of me, turds.
No. Here we go. Why wouldn't it be possible for someone to slip through dimensions and through like a time warp just for a split second? Maybe it's one of those things where you slip into it and slip back because you're not supposed to be there. You're not. Maybe you're there already in a different time. So you can't occupy the same space. So it's like, oh no, you're not supposed to be there, and slips back. There's the guy that the time traveler in Times Square. Did you ever hear that story? Guy ends up in Times Square. I think it's the 50s.
Is this H.G. Wells?
I know. This guy, he ends up, he just appears in the middle of the road, and this is Times Square when New York Times Square was not a good place to just hang out. And the guy just appeared in the middle of the street, looked all confused, and got nailed by a taxi, and they went through his wallet. There was, he had something on him that was like an identification. There was something on him from a different time also, and there just all sorts of weird stuff. They don't know who this guy is. They didn't find out to this day. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, but the guy just appeared. Appeared. Out of nowhere. So they think he's a time traveler.
So said the drunk cab driver.
He looked like Zod from Superman.
Karen Stamp.
That's the picture I saw of it, because there's no actual pictures, but there was an illustration.
See, I always wonder about that stuff. Like, where'd the atomic bomb come from? I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I know that they practice that theory in theory they practice that technology. But it's like, boom, there it is, no pun intended. But it's like, we needed an atomic bomb, we made one. Why couldn't we make one 2,000 years before that?
I think about that sometimes, thinking about, like, weird thoughts. Such as, I have a buddy who over the last couple of years started brewing his own beer. Have you ever witnessed what it takes to make a beer?
It's involved.
How do you come up with that to even start?
Yeah.
Like, even in ancient times, what makes you be like, well, if I take 37 ingredients, boil them, I'll get something. You know what I mean? Like, that's something obviously, right, you're hinting at, learned from somewhere, maybe not alien, which... I never say aliens. My personal theory is always that there is, I'm part of the Atlantis group, where not necessarily Atlantis, but there was a civilization or culture that we're missing out on.
Fingerprints of the gods. Read Fingerprints of the Gods, Mike.
I have, but that's the same. And these are thoughts I have when I'm home, like drinking wine, and I'm like,
So you think like me, like the Romans and Greeks were running around making love and war, but yet the Egyptians could build monuments that defy all logic, or they could do brain surgery. And then there's some disconnect. We lose all that, and it's just
and then it goes back to
in the king's chamber. There are I can't remember, but each stone in the king's chamber. First off, there's about I can't remember how many. I think it's in the high thousands in the pyramids. Each one weighs between, 5 and 16 tons?
Yeah.
All right? There are stones in the king's chamber that are made of a certain stone from 500 miles away. For them to weigh, and they weigh more. They're more dense. How? How the hell, 500 miles away, get all those stones there, build the pyramids, and say that those pyramids are that old? Same thing goes for the Sphinx. There are water erosion marks on the Sphinx that predate any rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Well, back before it was a desert, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they think they're sure that the head of the Sphinx is. They think it was originally a full lion.
Yeah. And you know,
and
then
at some point they cut a head off and put a pharaoh's head on.
No, look at the Sphinx's head too. It's so tiny.
It's smaller compared to the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Or like Stonehenge, even those rocks. And people are like, oh, you know, it's been proven man could have dug the rocks, dragged them to wherever they had to. And yes, man could have. But it seems like such a project, considering there could have been, you know, you could have just built a hill there like they did all over the rest of England.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted a super monument, build it where you quarried the rocks from. It just seems a lot of...
The only plausible theory I've ever seen while studying Egyptology is that they built a massive
ramp,
walled-in thing, and then a canal from the Nile...
Yes,
up to,
I saw that too.
And they floated them in on barges, and then they would flood it, make a layer, flood it higher, make a layer.
Uh-huh.
That's plausible, but look at the size of them things and the amount of water you would need by the time you get to the top.
They're so heavy. What kind of
flotation device you have?
Would you use?
Yeah, because you couldn't just use the stone, which sink.
You can't just put it on a boat because it would be so heavy it would sink the
boat.
I always just read that they just used giant ramps that would stretch like 30 miles off in the desert because it was such a gradual slope, and then you just get, you know, 10,000 slaves pulling one boulder up.
How would you like to be the slave pushing them all those stones? I mean, just think about it. You know, how because I've heard that our biggest cranes couldn't lift some of their largest stones.
Yeah.
The things that build skyscrapers today cannot build a pyramid.
But it is a monumental feat.
Sure.
The Great Pyramid did take them 30 years to build. So it's not something they threw up in a season.
Still,
it's a lot of work, but over 30 years.
I mean, how long? 500 miles away. And then it's 500 miles away with the weight of those and the amount of people they had working on them. 30 years. There's no way that could be built.
And then perfectly aligned with Orion.
They used magic.
Perfect. And the cuts on these stones were made with laser precision. And they actually found, I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, somebody call in. Please, somebody call in. If I'm wrong, please let me know. But I'm pretty certain they found diamond bit marks on some of these. I mean, that technology wasn't available.
Are you familiar with the multiple tribes of Easter Island? The legends of Easter Island.
No, there were
two types of people who lived on Easter Island. There was a long ear tribe and a short ear tribe.
Short
ears suck. Right. Long ears. Whoa.
And the long one of them was like, it, once again, going back to my crazy Atlantis theories, one of them came from somewhere else. I believe it was the long eared. They were a heavily tattooed people and they possessed allegedly extraordinary abilities, some of which was able to magically move rocks. Like they can lift giant rocks seemingly without effort.
Yep.
Stuff like that. So if you have someone like that, obviously building a pyramid would become a hell of a lot easier.
There's another thing that they were saying, maybe sound waves. Maybe they developed some kind of technology where they could produce a certain sound frequency.
And then all of a sudden all this technology's gone.
You've got the Romans that invaded, and then you've got the who else?
Well, actually, Steve, I have all sorts of crazy theories on this as well.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You have this high-tech civilization, right? Something happens. They destroy themselves, or they just eventually die out. Well, some survivors with this advanced high technology move on to seclude themselves, and what your common UFOs are not from another planet. They're the survivors of this ancient civilization, and they show up to reclaim any of their technology on the verge of being discovered by modern man.
In fact, they're creating
their own conspiracy.
I like that idea.
Nice.
Very good.
I came up with that while eating Honey Nut Cheerios one day.
Did you really?
You are a Perillo.
But I like that. That's a theory, yeah.
Like, you know, that's why UFOs are always evolved but always well hidden, and they're just these guys who probably destroyed themselves, don't want us to do the same thing. And if you find the magic, you know, crystal recorder or whatever, rather than us get it, they show up, some sort of crazy UFO sighting. And
I like that, Mike.
So if
you
look at the historical timeline, you have the great triumvirate there between Egypt, Greece, and Rome, which I think was like 34 BC, which was Julius Caesar. Was it Mark Antony with Cleopatra?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Those were the three. Then all of a sudden, Egypt fell under Greek rule under Ptolemy, and that's when something must have happened.
That happened well before. That was like 300 years before.
Was it 300?
Cleopatra was a Ptolemy.
Okay.
Ptolemy served Alexander the Great, which was about 300 BC, somewhere in there. So she was a Ptolemy.
But there was the decline of that one period there, about 600 BC, when I think they called it the Late Kingdom?
Yeah. Yeah, once Rome rose and Cleopatra, that was the death of Egypt. For as much as Egypt had existed 3,000 years previous to that, and they just went down the gutter. Yeah.
But then you look at the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, your conspiracy theories about the Ark is that that's a nuclear reactor. You know, people go near it, they die. I mean, you either accept that that was God's power on Earth and you were disrespecting it and he killed you.
It's so beautiful!
I mean, look at what it did to the Nazis on that island when Indiana Jones was trying to stop everybody.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they kept manna in there. They kept other things in there.
The original Ten Commandments are in there, isn't there?
Yes.
A jar of manna?
Yes, and there's other things. I forgot.
It's if, okay, say it does exist. Say hypothetically the Ark of the Covenant does exist, which maybe, I don't know, next to Scully's cure for cancer in Area 51.
It's in Ethiopia.
Say,
blew my
I
mind when
I
found all that out. But
the Ark is
totally
in Ethiopia.
Is when I found out there was a Christian kingdom in Ethiopia, my head literally like.
Well, I'm not going to get into religious debate here, but that's actually
well,
the original Catholic Church.
Debate. It could be.
Coptic.
It could just be.
Yeah.
An
archaeological find.
But
yeah. I mean, if that's the fact.
Because it all traces
fact.
Back to.
Can you imagine if you actually.
Once again, Solomon got his mind.
Oh, isn't the.
Which was one of Halifax Warburton's original adventures.
Isn't
what
the.
Like, is it still
the
that has the art staff of Ra?
No. And the Ark, isn't the chalice that Jesus drank out of, isn't that in there?
No, that's
no,
in
that's
Oak
in
Island.
Spain.
Oak Island.
Actually,
you guys are both wrong. It is
no,
in
I'm
a
sorry.
Cave. And,
isn't
it
that,
is
isn't it actually made of wood?
Yes, they actually believe,
yes.
They call it the, you're killing me tonight. It's actually believed to be in a Spanish monastery.
What do you call
it? It's buried
what is
in
it?
New Roslyn.
Guys, the
Holy
the,
Grail?
The Holy Grail.
Yes.
It's buried in, I believe, New Roslyn, Canada.
It's called the Chalice of Antioch.
Okay.
If you look that one up, that's what they believe is actually the, and it's the wooden cup, and then built around it is all the gold, diamonds, precious metals, and.
But you got to remember, you know, archaeologically speaking, Jesus was a carpenter.
Yeah.
What better, he had the knowledge to actually build a wooden cup to drink out of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
See, Mike and I, you know, being Italian-Americans over there, Italy's really only had one great war, and it's like you lost to the Ethiopians in 1936. You know, it's like, how do you lose to the Ethiopians? And then it's like, why are you even an Ethiopian? But then this is where I'm leading into what we were talking about before, Larry, Hitler's quest for all these religious artifacts.
Yeah.
He sent Mussolini's troops in to go get the Ark out of Ethiopia, and it's believed to be in a church in Ethiopia. And then that whole battle scenario made sense. Why would you attack Ethiopia? There's no, let alone how do you lose it? But
because they had the Ark of the Covenant.
But then I read something as about 7 years ago during the Seven-Day War, or some war in the 1980s, the Israeli special forces landed in Israel with 7 helicopters. And I'm struggling here. I can't think of what they're called. The Levites. They had 9 Levites come out. They were all in full regalia, and apparently they took the Ark out of there, and it's back in Israel, and it's actually beneath the Dome of the Rock someplace. And a whole that was one of the stories that they said. They couldn't explain all these Israeli helicopters coming and taking the Ark. So if it exists and that story is true, then it is actually in Israel, and they are rebuilding their temple, and it's under the Dome of the Rock. Only Levites, which were the head priests, they were the only ones that were allowed to actually be in the presence of
yeah,
the Ark.
Yeah, like power would destroy anyone who you couldn't touch it or like look at it. Or.
But the quest for Hitler and his holy artifacts, I mean, up into Tibet and all of that. And
what I've always
Nepal
been fascinated about, which is another, once again I'm going to be blamed for being similar to my cousin, was Hitler and his fascination with the Hollow World.
What is the Hollow World, Mike?
The Hollow World, Larry,
good point.
Is it's believed by some, I don't want to say scientists, but I guess, well,
yeah
some scientists, and actually it's alleged Hitler believed in this as well, that in the two poles, the North and South Pole, there's holes in our planet that lead to a central.
Okay. I know what you mean now.
Hollow World.
It is.
Kind of like what Jules Verne wrote about, where if
yeah.
you go in, there's actually civilizations and dinosaurs, and that the center of our planet's not actually a magma. It's
yeah,
and the whole theory is that that's where a lot of these vanished, super ancient cultures have run off to.
Mm-hmm.
So Hitler was looking for natural resources, because you figure.
Now, two things. One was in the North Pole. They had They had expeditions up there, and I think did they just find like a U-boat or something up in the North Pole or something, or was that like science fiction?
They found some. I don't know if it was a U-boat or a plane.
There was something
found a Nazi,
Nazi
plane.
Right?
I think it was a plane.
And that was the theory. And if you watch that movie I was talking to you about earlier, Downfall, Hitler is actually waiting for somebody to come help them. He's like, when they come here, it's all over. It's done. We will win. And he was waiting for, again, the name of that those people had a specific name.
The Thule Brudershaft?
Was it? Are those the tall people?
Oh, no, no. The Thule Brudershaft.
I know. Your cousin says their name all the time, and I can't remember. The Thule Brudershaft. But there's the race of giants, the Aryan.
Oh, the Nephilim?
Yes.
Yes.
He was waiting for them to actually come out and help him win the war once and for all, that they were going to set him on the path to.
Well, my
to victory.
I had a friend who, when we were teenagers, went through one of those phases some kids do where they become obsessed with Nazis. I never had one of those phases, but we all know somebody who did, right?
I was an Nazi.
And he actually
had
a book.
To Be or Not to Be? One of the greatest World War II movies.
All Hitler wanted was a little piece.
A little piece of Poland.
A little piece of France.
A little bit of Turkey with a little piece of Greece.
And he had a book that actually, the only fascinating book he ever picked up was, it was about Hitler and Hitler using witchcraft in his, you know, to help him strategize. He'd actually use witches. Not actual Ouija boards, but something akin to.
I just actually seen a movie today about Hitler and the occult. And actually Hitler was not into the occult. Now let me finish. His right hand man Himmler. Jesus, seen the movie today.
Himmler was, yeah.
Yes, Goebbels. And Hitler's theory was, and they said Hitler's theory was on the occult was, whatever you do on your off time is fine with me. Just don't bring it into the office, you know, so to speak. But towards the end, when he knew he was losing the war, he got into the occult to try to save and try to help with the war effort, but. Obviously, that didn't help,
and there was one
went to heck in a handbasket.
Borman was Borman one of, and he's the one that fled to South America, right? Right? He never.
Well, they even believe Hitler made it to South America.
He did that. Buddy had this book was on like Borman, and he fled to South America with all this like occult.
A lot of them fled to Buenos Aires. They said that Joseph Mengele himself went to Buenos Aires. I could be wrong there too, but I'm about 90% sure on that. And a lot of them escaped South America.
And actually, a lot of those theories is what Mignola went with when he created Hellboy.
Now,
Nazis and their cult experiments during World War II.
The actual rise of the Hitler's Nazi party, because they chose him because he had the gift of mesmerization. He could mesmerize people. Yes. And if you watch movies, you obviously see, or not movies, but documentaries, you can see him mesmerizing crowds of people. Now, he was brought in under the wing, correct me, it was either the Thule Society or there was another one that started with an A. I think it was the Thule, which
the
was
Thules
the big
were
one.
The German, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the guy traveled, I think it was through South America to Nepal, Tibet and all of those, and that's where they tried in the 1930s establishing that occult society. Mm-hmm. Himmler was the one trying to build the castle there.
Yes.
For the SS. The SS were the Knights of...
Do yourself a favor and you got Netflix. Just go ahead and Hitler and the Occult and it'll bring it up. It's very interesting.
Was it the Holy Vem? Was that one of the ones you were thinking of? I think it was. No.
It could be. It was an earlier society like before World War I and then became like the Thule.
See, I'm confusing my secret society now. I think the Vem are the descendants of Charlemagne's Knights. Charlemagne had 13 Knights. And their descent, and they became, I believe it's the Holy Vem, which is, I believe is V-E-H-M. If I remember correctly, they were the descendants of Charlemagne's.
Right.
Charlemagne's pretty much Knights of the Round Table. Charlemagne being the last, Christian king, right, was it? Or the last?
Charlemagne.
The last Roman emperor.
Okay.
Let me see if I get some names here on this Google thingy. Munched.
But yeah, if you guys get Netflix, go ahead and watch that. It's very interesting.
Oh, we didn't even mention the Spear of Destiny.
I was going to, but
the Spear of Longinus.
Well, you know the conspiracy behind that with George Patton. George Patton actually was supposed to deliver that to somebody, and then he mysteriously was killed. They always, well, your cousin thinks he drove him, but drove. Well.
my uncle was probably banging some broad. Not
sorry, Uncle Angelo.
That's an insane story, but no. He, General George S. Patton got the Spear of Destiny from Himmler, and they were supposed to deliver that to Eisenhower, and then Patton was killed in that car accident. I mean, he lingered for a while and died, but that was one of the conspiracy theories had to do with the Spear of Destiny. It was actually the Russians pretty much assassinated Patton. They didn't want him in the military because his views were, we're rolling into Russia next, and I'm not stopping until we go into Indochina, and we're going to end all this once and for all. And so that was probably the first CIA Russian hit, but
really?
Patton to knock out him, because he would have pushed for total war once and for all, and we probably would have had world peace at some point, but...
Would have American flag. We would have been the British Empire.
But that popular thing, they bring up the Spear of Destiny. Oh, he touched it and he was cursed and he died. Ooh.
I like King Tut's curse.
But where is the Spear of Destiny? Is it being handled by top men?
Top men, Lois.
You mean the men at tops?
Men.
Top men. Ribbentrop, there's another name.
But it's all very fascinating.
They don't have the...
I've heard stories of... Hitler actually sending troops into the woods in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, and things like that, looking for humanoid creatures like a werewolf, like cryptids.
Now, see, I've never heard that. I've never heard that.
The Black Forest.
Because what he wanted to do, say he ended up hypothetically catching something that's like a werewolf, he wanted to do like hybrids and make a super soldier, you know, and things like that.
The Russian, I believe we talked about it before, the Russians and their guerrilla army there. You ever see that?
We talked about
the
that.
Russians
what was
wanted
it?
To make hybrid like gorilla.
Well, we talked off the air.
It was off the air.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was effectively like Planet of the Apes, but they were Russian. Yep.
Here's a name for you out there. We won't get into any more of this in depth. I mean, the study of Nazis and the occult is fascinating in itself. But
that's why I got
Adolf
it.
Joseph Lanz Liebenfels. He was behind the magazine there, Astera, which was the occult magazine behind the Nazi Party and Hitler and all of that and all the big people. Interesting stuff. But it just shows you how so bad the paranormal can go if you want to use it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But did they mention on this documentary, Steve, that they actually had the horoscope writers at the beginning of the war, the early 30s? Hitler was using the horoscope writers to predict what he was actually going to do.
No, they didn't mention that.
And then during the war, we were using our horoscope people, putting out fake horoscopes to
kind of like
pretty much unsettle him.
Yeah. Forgot what I was going
to
say.
I don't know. All I have is that song from To Be or Not to Be dancing through my head, The Naughty Nazis.
Oh, that's
There's
bad.
Another one for you for Netflix, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
It's Mel Brooks. It's a funny movie.
A Little Piece of Portrait.
It's Spain.
No, it's called To Be or Not to Be.
Oh, okay.
No, his name is Bronski. He owns a theater in wartime Poland.
Yeah. He ends up like a spy or somewhere, helping a spy or spying for the resistance. Or...
I like
Mel Brooks.
If you like Mel Brooks, you'll like it.
Springtime for Hitler. And the producers.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Wow. This might be our last show here on BBS.
I don't know. I think it was one of our best shows, although we spent the whole time talking about like conspiracies and the occult, which
it was pretty
actually
good,
is the reason I joined RIP. I'm more
into
the occult aspect
We had quite a weekend this weekend, gentlemen.
Yes, we did have quite a weekend.
Dr. Dave and our own Peter Leonard.
That's right. This past weekend was Halloween.
Yep. Dr. Dave and our own Peter Leonard went out and
did our college tour.
Did our college tour.
To Ohio State and Georgia State.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having us.
We had Mr. Rich Nicodem and
Stephen Roscoe.
No, not
me. Mona.
Mona Rickert. Oh, my God. Mona's going to kill us for that.
Steve just forgot Mona.
She's going to kill us for that. Oh, wow.
Oh, Mona, Steven.
If you're listening, I'm so sorry. But
they were on
KTV.
KTV.
And I
Stephen Roscoe was on
went to our the local doctor. Radio station here in Rome, New York, WKAL Radio, and did my thing there, and it was a really good time. They even invited me back, and I'm going to bring some people with me next time I go. They said
sounds
they
excellent.
Yes, absolutely.
And actually, while we're talking about RIP events, we can bring up that this Friday, Dr. David and Peter will be at Mohawk Valley Community College, Rome campus.
Well, I feel like I have people on the
stage. Starting 7:30?
7-ish, I think.
7-ish.
I don't know. I didn't get the specifics yet from my agent.
Well, Pete, you figure with all the money you have, you'd be able to just have a secretary for this.
I know that Pete Leonard money.
You charlatan, you.
If I hear one more time, if I had the money Pete Leonard had, you'd have probably enough to go buy a whatchamacallit.
I'd like to have the money Pete Leonard
has. Well, here comes his limousine now.
And I'm Pete Leonard.
7 p.m. at the Plumlee Complex, Rome, New York. The Haunted History of Rome. This will be a little different than our education, entertainment.
Is it you? Is Dave going to be? Or did I screw up? It's not you. It is you and Dave.
This is actually like a lecture on real history versus the haunted history of Rome. Because the students attending this can get college credit for attending this lecture, so this one won't be filled with. Well, David's portion won't be filled with the exciting, entertaining. But no, I'm just kidding, but. Yeah, there won't be any science. It'll be all history-based and our evidence.
So it'll be a good presentation.
Since it is,
we love you, Dr. Dave.
Since it is part of their history curriculum, it's a nice equivalent.
So you will be able to find RIP at MVCC on Friday night?
Yes, I'll be doing a Civil War lecture, too, on November 11th at the Rome Historical Society.
There's that.
Yes.
When's that?
Well, November 11th.
November 11th. When is November 11th? Between the 10th and 12th.
It falls on the Tuesday, which is Veterans Day. Which is sort of fitting. That's why I'm doing this.
And since we're talking about history, there's a benefit? Or is that weekend?
Is Thursday the 6th. The Rome Historical Society is having their annual dinner. It's at the Beaches Conference Center. I'll be there.
When is it?
Not getting an award, but I'll be there.
When is it?
Thursday.
Oh, I thought it was Saturday for some reason.
This coming Thursday,
the 6th, yes.
In 2 days? Very nice.
But that'll be it for this season. But we're working on some knockout, drop-dead interesting stuff for next season. We were at Gloversville. They've already asked us back. They've already asked if we could get John Ziggity Zaffis involved in something, so we're going to try exploiting that as much as we can.
I believe Shops at the Finish Line want us back.
Shops at the Finish Line. We have maybe perhaps the Knox Mansion out in Jamestown?
Oddly enough, my mother has had experiences at the Knox Mansion. She was staying there in the off season. Her and her boyfriend at the time. Not to say my mom has lots of boyfriends. No, my mom, not anyway. They had a tendency where they'd go away for a weekend and they wouldn't plan anything. They'd just be like, we're gonna go here.
That's nice though.
So they went out to wherever this Knox family or this Knox Mansion is, and they were just in a bar. It was off season, they were drinking and they started meeting, you know, people in the bar. Talking about, and one of the guys they were talking to owned the place at the time. I don't know if he still does. And they were talking about how they didn't have plans. They were just there drinking. They could go to a hotel. And the guy's like, well, I own a bed and breakfast. It's off season. Just stay there. So he let him rent a room at the bed and breakfast for the night. And he showed him pictures of, they were taking pictures, I guess, to make a brochure for the place. And one of the pictures, clear as day, you can see two women standing on a balcony and like, Victorian dress, yeah, like with the big clothes, like bustle dresses.
Yeah. Wow.
But there was nobody standing on the balcony when they took the picture. And my mom said the room they stayed in, my mom said she didn't really experience anything, but all night her boyfriend at the time, like whatever was in there, like kept targeting him. Like for the first time in his life, like he was the one who all night would get really cold and then get really hot and really cold and really hot. So like my mom, who's being a woman, normally always hot and cold.
Yeah.
But she wasn't bothered all night, but so.
Wow.
And I guess the guy had other stories that don't really come to mind. But.
And I don't know if you gentlemen know this, but we've been invited to Georgia to do an investigation.
Georgia? The state?
Georgia, the state of Georgia.
We're going to investigate the state.
What are we investigating?
David and I, when we were down there, we said, we're down here. Why eat fast food? Let's find some barbecue place. So somebody recommended the Smokehouse Barbecue over just outside of Atlanta, and we went there. I mean, you know us northerners, you know, we stick out quite a bit, not to mention we were also wearing RIP shirts. But what I loved about the place, they have three drink sizes. They have small, large, and gallon. Now, when you give me the option of a gallon, I'm always going with the gallon. So I got a gallon tea.
That is awesome.
The barbecue was delicious. Baked beans were the best I've ever had. David and I are throwing our trays away, and the lady we didn't know at the time, she actually owned the place. She's like, is that Rome, Georgia? We're like, no, New York. And then when she heard the accent, she's like, is that for real? That's always the question we get, you know, investigators of the paranormal. Is that real? We're like, yeah. She's like, well, come on in. I'm going to show you all about the house. She's like, yeah, there's stuff happening everywhere. She gave us a tour of the entire place. Very nice lady. And then the people that were working in the kitchen, they were telling their stories about, you can hear the sounds upstairs of people running. And nobody lives up there because it's just empty. The restaurant is in the downstairs bar. This thing. Long story short, she loved us. She said, next time you're down here, come down and we'll investigate.
Rip Road Trip. Rip Road Trip 2015.
Heck, how's the barbecue?
Oh, it was delicious.
Georgia.
Better than Piggy Pets?
Oh, yeah.
Georgia.
They don't give you buns down Rip there. They give you like Texas
on
toast.
A midnight train to Georgia.
Slathered
Rips
with
on
butter.
A midnight train to Georgia.
Slathered with butter.
Oh,
down. No, you love turning my microphone down.
Well, we blew through a whole show.
Did we really?
Yes. We got 1 minute left.
Okay.
So what would you like
you
to
mentioned
say?
MVCC. We mentioned your historical stuff.
Georgia.
Saturday Night God Shifter will be playing at the Snubbing Post.
Wow.
Larry, you're playing where this week?
Thursday night at George O'Day's on West Fayette Street in Syracuse, New York. Show starts at 7:30. They've got drink specials and food and all sorts of fun stuff. And it's a free show. It's a free comedy show. It goes till about 9 o'clock, 9:30, sometimes 10. So come on by.
And that just happened.
Yeah.
And on that note, that's another Paranormal Investigator Radio. And I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Mike Perillo.
And I'm Larry O'Grady.
Stay spooky, everyone.
Well, that was a quick one.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.